He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday edition. Thank goodness it's Friday, of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And it looks like war drums beating today in the market. We'll get to that in a bit. But right now we've got the market down. The Dow is down 241 points. It sits at 38,218. The Dow is definitely the weakest of the three indexes right now. The NASDAQ is down 148 after a really good day yesterday, giving up about one half of what it gained yesterday, 16,293. S&P down 36 to 5,162. Small caps down about 65 basis points. Here's the big story for me today. There's two as far as the assets go. Crude oil up $2.04 today. Ouch, $87.06. That's a war premium being built in there as we keep hearing that an attack on Israel is imminent from Iran. That's certainly reflected in the stock market right now. Gold is up $48 an ounce to $2,421. Silver's up $1.40 to $29.65. And the 10-year is down 7 basis points, a little flight to safety there to 4.50%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm headed to Sarasota. Man, I just looked at my schedule. I just printed out three full days.
it's a full one, and I think sunny Sarasota is going to live up to its billing, because I think it's a, wow. I think some quiet yesterday told me it's going to be pretty. I think pretty warm down there.
Okay, so I'll take my swimsuit, you know, for when I'm done at 9 p.m., you know, and definitely my vitamins and my Wheaties. Well, look.
Well, after taking our waiters off from yesterday, I'm happy.
We got
some
rain.
Sunshine out there. Yeah.
Now, okay, look, one of the big factors in the market is, and I don't think it really gets enough attention, you know, we talk about the Fed and we talk about interest rates and Jamie Dimon and earnings, but geopolitics have a big influence and something that you've got to stay on top of here. And I'm just reading a lot of articles here this morning, but, you know, you learn a lot just by watching the markets, following different asset classes, etc. To see gold up this much, hitting a new high, almost at $2,500 an ounce, and to see oil jumping $2.10, that's not demand from China. And, you know, I've been warning about this for about a month now, saying I'm not seeing that demand in China. These prices going up on these commodities are war related. There's just no question about it. Now, they're inflation related too, but you know, it would appear, and at least the news outlets from everybody from Reuters to the Jerusalem Post to the Washington Post to the New York Times, very worried about an imminent attack from Iran on Israel. So that's the backdrop on this Friday. We had a good day yesterday in the market. It was a huge AI rally. The NASDAQ was up 272 yesterday. I was just astonished at the moves in NVIDIA. Google broke out to a new all-time high. Microsoft had a huge day yesterday. And it was
you worked into a few names yesterday that we names that we own. And
yeah, I bought a few of the pullbacks that we've seen here recently in these stocks, because look, you've had NVIDIA go down 13% in the pullback, And then you have a stock like Microsoft who has no pullback at all. Amazon has no pullback at all. Alphabet, Google has no pullback at all. So they're still going strong. But it was a very, very powerful day in the market yesterday, but heavily concentrated in a small area called the artificial intelligence. And the rest of the market was actually pretty weak. And then, of course, you've got weakness here today. Jamie Dimon, we'll get to his earnings report here. But, you know, he's been saying this for a while, that he thinks that inflation is still a problem. And he points to the spending of the U.S. government as the biggest one of the biggest culprits there. We're going to get some speeches today. Schmid speaks at 1. Bostic speaks at 2:30, and Daly, Mary Daly out in San Francisco, speaks at 3:30. The good news is not Marco Coleno.
Crash Kari is not
speaking, but you know what? He may be right. He may be the one. He's definitely leaning towards no rate cuts. This is going to be a big debate, and it's going to impact the markets big time, and that's why we bring it up so much, because it has such a major impact. Look at the bond market. Look at the massive sell-off here recently that we've seen in the bond market. It's pretty surprising to see interest rates at 4.50 on the 10-year. We've seen the housing market, the real estate stocks get hit, the housing stocks. The REITs have actually absolutely been clobbered here this past week.
And mortgage rates were back up to 30 years, back up to 7%, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the market's rate, right? That's the other important thing, is the market is shaping that rate. It's not the Fed talks and moves the rate, but in terms of supply and demand, that's where the market's pushing that rate.
Absolutely. But I would say that the consensus of the Fed speakers have all leaned towards there will be rate cuts later this year. And, of course, I did see President Biden's comments yesterday that he believes there will be rate cuts, especially right before the elections at some point, right?
Yeah,
October, somewhere in there, we'll get a rate cut.
Yeah,
anyways.
And we actually, a couple of things there, we actually get a rate decision, I think, the day after the election, because I think there's a rate decision.
Well, that's immaterial now.
I think there's a November 7th meeting announcement on Wednesday.
Well, when the closest meeting to election before Election Day is.
Then that's October. Yeah,
that's October. In my book, that's a 99% probability that there will be a rate cut. Okay, now, you own good stocks in the market, and there's scares all the time that come along and try to test your mettle in owning these stocks. This link between weight loss drugs and suicidal thoughts, that came along about a year ago. I think Jenny Craig funded the the trial, right? Jenny Craig and Oprah Winfrey. And, you know, the weight loss industry is a big industry. It's massive amounts of money in the weight loss industry.
Well, and continue, the other benefit for, you know, just the weight loss industry in general is over the years, right? It's kept you coming back, right? In other
right.
words, it was a continual, it was almost like a continual income stream, just because, the success rates were very, over time, long periods of
very
time,
low.
Were very low.
Yeah, and okay, and it affects gymnasiums and pill makers and all kinds of things. Well, okay, so they sent it to the FDA first, this scare, and they found no link. And then you had Novo Nordisk selling off here over the last several weeks because the EU decided to pick it up. Well, you know, it didn't take them very long. The EU regulator concludes that there is no link between weight loss drugs and suicidal thoughts. I think there's more of a link between getting on the scale, Barry, and suicidal thoughts. No, I'm just kidding.
I was thinking just in studies, right? I mean, depending, some of those, how you measure suicidal thoughts is kind of, seems to be tough, in my opinion, but you could, you know, some folks could, you know, could have suicidal thoughts before they begin taking it,
yeah,
right? So, I mean, it would only be natural, I guess, at that point, as you're taking it, to potentially have those thoughts, right, as you're taking something.
Yes. But, so, anyways, there is no link, and that is one of the stocks I added to. You know, we've had a lot of new clients come in here recently, and there's been a pretty good pullback in NVO because of this study. And they concluded yesterday, no link. Okay, now when we come back, we got to talk about oil. Because don't forget, gasoline prices are going to be a big factor in this year's election, presidential election, especially in the weeks and months leading up. And we've got to talk about gold here and what's going on with it. This is the Best Stocks Now show. The Best Stocks Now show. Let's get a quick update on the market, where you've got a couple of things rippling through the market today. Number one, bank earnings, which we'll get to here in a bit. Jamie Dimon's comments on inflation, which he sees being hotter and being more sticky and persistent than the Fed is letting on to. And, of course, a supposed imminent attack over the next 48 hours is what I've seen this weekend, I guess, of Iran against Israel. So
yeah, and actually a time limit. Yeah, the last time I saw it, yeah, talking about 48, it's basically saying it within 48 hours in some form or fashion. Yeah.
Well, that's not just not, it's not good at all. And we're seeing it in crude oil, which is up $2.27. to 87.29. I found that over the years, the best indicator of Middle East tension is crude oil and gold, and the best indicator for whether it's China's economy coming back or not is copper. Copper and steel prices and things like that. And we're seeing a little bit of both, actually. But I think this action in the in those two commodities, gold and oil, today are definitely heavily tilted towards fear, tension, high tension in the Middle East. Now, if we take a look here at oil prices, let me get my notes back up here. Actually, yeah, okay. So, well, I was looking at these, the CEOs. How much is it worth, okay, to be the CEO of ExxonMobil? How much did that person get paid? Well, ExxonMobil disclosed CEO
Darren
Woods'
structure, right?
Total compensation was $37 million last year. Okay. And then you look at his competitor over at Chevron, Michael Wirth's total compensation was $26.5 million. Where's Elizabeth Warren when we need her? Anyways,
I mean, how much does Ohtani make?
well, that's right. Shohei Ohtani. How much does George Clooney?
It's like $45 million or something. Yeah, you know, but when
Taylor
you think of
Swift.
It, I mean, he is. I mean, they are running. I mean, they're running very important, you know, businesses to the world. I mean,
very
there's a. You know, there are certain arguments that you can be paid. Yeah, I mean, should you know, teachers make more as the son of a retired teacher? Sure, but at the same time, right? I mean, you know, to me, 30-something million for that gig doesn't sound
there's a lot of responsibility. You know,
yeah,
if one of your ships runs aground in Alaska, or if one of your wells leaks in the Gulf of Mexico, or whatever. Okay, here's your stock of the day, Pax Medica, PXMD. It's up 159%. It started the day at 38 cents. It's $1.05. Pax Medica, PXMD, has a completed execution of three registration validation batches of drug Pax 101. Wow, African trypanosomiasis, which is caused by a fatal tropical disease. Well, okay. It's narrow spectrum for the drug, but a very important drug, and the stock is up 156 cents. And what percent if you're into playing in penny stocks, right?
Well, and take a look. Like, so here's a good lesson for folks who, you know, want to play the biotech world, right? Which is, you know, a lot of it's a lottery ticket to a certain extent. Look at that 1 year chart on PXMB. Check that
from 178 a share to $1 a share. And now it's up 148% today. So that's not much of a consolation, really.
And look at those volume days. You see those volume? That there's like 5 days where the thing had tons of volume and virtually zero volume the rest of the time.
Okay, now here's another big I think this will be a big topic for the presidential election. But I think both are on the same side. I think Chinese EVs, should we allow them into the U.S.? There's a few here now. I live on a river that leads to the ocean here, a saltwater river. I just saw a boat go by, and I know it. It's a dual hull, nice boat. I actually looked at one, made in China. It just went in front of my house. I guess they're headed out. But anyways, should we ban Chinese-made EVs? Now, here's the upside to that. It protects our car industry, right? Our automobile industry. Look what happened when we allowed the Japanese automakers. Here's the downside to that. Inflation, but the bigger downside is a trade war. Okay, you ban Chinese-made EVs, we ban Apple products, we ban Tesla products, we ban whatever else, Caterpillar. So Sherrod Brown, who is the one of the Ohio senators, I think he's up for re-election this year. He's calling for a ban, the U.S. government to ban Chinese-made electric vehicles to protect auto workers in his state of Ohio, where hopefully we're headed sometime later this year. I do have an update on the Minnesota trip, which I'll talk about in the next when we come back from the break. But anyways, that is going to be a debate. And I don't see us allowing those Chinese EVs into America, but we'll see. And this has been one of the big drags on Tesla stock and on Apple stock and a few others that do a lot of business and sell a lot of their products into China. Now, Kathy Woods is at it again. You know, listen, I'm going to give you trivia question of the day. How much is her account up over the last 5 years, her ARK account? The S&P has averaged 15.5% per year. So an investment in the S&P, 15.5% per year over 5 years, you're probably looking at about 80-90% total return on the S&P. She's zero.
That's an interesting chart. Yeah,
zero.
I'm looking at it right now. Basically minus 2.27 over that whole 5 years.
Yes. Which,
you know, basically divide minus two by five, you basically are getting basically a 0%
now,
annual.
Now, here's your next trivia question, and the only way you can find the answer to it, is by signing up for 2 free weeks of the newsletter. How have the Gunderson portfolios performed over the last 5 years? Go to GundersonCapital.com. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. You can see the Premier Growth Portfolio, the Ultra Growth Portfolio, the Dividend and Growth Portfolio, the Emerging Growth Portfolio, and the Bond Portfolio. I think it's safe to say our bond portfolio is outperformed. She was trying to defend her strategy the other day by saying, well, we buy stocks for 5-year time horizons. In other words, when we buy them, we're not going to sell them for 5 years. Okay, so they looked at her 5-year track record, and it was zero. But she's out there saying that she is still highly bullish on the EV sector.
I was surprised she had a 5-year record.
Yeah, man. You know, she's got about an 8-year record now. Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Market underwater today, down about 300 on the Dow, down about 200 on the NASDAQ. I think Jamie Dimon's interest rate comments and the tension there, extreme tension in the Middle East, are having a big impact on the market.
Flight well, you mentioned safety. That. Yeah, that fight is exactly what I was about to say. The fight to safety. I mean, if you look at just look at the 10-year, right? So naturally, treasuries
should be up today.
Yeah, you would think, right? Especially with those input costs, like you said, with oil going up, right?
Yes.
That's inflationary.
And Jamie Dimon's comments.
Right, and so when you look at the 10-year treasury today, down almost 10 basis points. So it just shows you that there's an era of fight to safety,
yes,
and also fight to the dollar. I mean,
the dollar's up too. So it's like, look, take risk off the table over the weekend, because who, Lord knows what's going to happen tomorrow or Sunday. We just don't know. Okay, Minnesota is now on the calendar. That's Minneapolis on the 7th, 8th, and 9th is what I've got. May. That's the week after the Kentucky Derby. That's how you can remember that, okay? May 7th, 8th, and 9th, the first Saturday in May, which is always a big event around my house. But anyways, Minnesota at the Radisson Blu, 7th, 8th, and 9th. I think it's blue, but it's spelt like blue. Then they can charge you extra because it's got a French-sounding name, and the rooms cost a little more. But we'll be there, and I'm looking forward to it. And then after that, it will be Michigan. We don't have our, to Bloomfield Hills, we don't have our date yet, but I've got it penciled in June 18th through 20th, so we'll see. But you can start signing up you can start calling Edie at 855-611-BEST to reserve a consultation with us in person there at the Radisson Blu. It's a neat place. I like it. I like the restaurant there and everything.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. No.
Now, back to work here.
Solid walleye there.
Oh, I love the walleye pike. Now, let's see. Okay, a couple of other things caught my eye here. Epic Games is taking on Google again with their App Store. I would never, ever, if I had it to do over again, I would have just kept my app on Windows and on a PC and not messed around with Apple and with Google. They're nothing but a pain in the you-know-what to work with. They strangle you. They just strangle you. When it comes right down to saying you can't name your app that, that's just like, well, screw you.
Well, when it had already been, when it had
it's
already been on
your
their platform
for 3 years. Okay. And then taking as much as they take out of your hide for what? I don't think anybody, I doubt that anybody has found my app by going to the App Store. It's all been because of my show and my radio show. But, it is what it, they're there and people. You could use the app on, you don't have to have the Apple version or the Android version. You can just go to the website on your mobile device and use the app. But anyways, they're going to get nailed at some point in time for taking 40% commission on these apps. And Epic Games is not going to back down. They're taking on Google. Google's the worst. Google is horrible to work with. every week they're sending me some new rule, and I got to agree to it. I don't even read them. I just agree to it. Who knows what I'm agreeing to? And Apple is terrible. One's horrible and one's terrible.
Take your pick. Right, there you go.
Drug shortages in the U.S. at the highest level on record since 2001. Should we be worried? Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I read an article in one of the Middle East newspapers about giving people instructions of what to do if there's radiation involved in whatever happens in Israel. So I don't want any drug shortages, but we've got some big, big drug shortages. ADHD drugs. We have shortages in antibiotics. So that's not a good thing.
Yeah, and that's some of that reshoring, right? Bringing some of that stuff back. I mean, it wasn't long ago, right? Remember, we were running out of baby formula, right?
Yeah.
Remember, I'm like, well, that sounds pretty important. So.
Now, I looked long and hard. I did make five buys yesterday, but in stocks that we already own. And on Wednesday, I bought two brand new stocks. So this will be an interesting newsletter this week at Gunderson Capital. There's my shameless pitch for the newsletter, right? GundersonCapital.com. But I looked long and hard at Chipotle. Chipotle is one of the great stocks of all time. Just ask McDonald's, right? Who sold their steak?
They cashed out of that a little too quickly.
Well, I've done that too in my life, not on the magnitude that McDonald's. Billions and billions were lost by that decision. And I love the stock, but you know what? Here's the deal: it came in at about 69% upside potential. Now, sometimes you just hold your nose and buy a stock like that. Because there's an extra thing involved here of sex appeal, or whatever you want to call it, cult following. Costco has the same thing going on. Tesla had it going on.
A constructive story, right? A good story.
Well, and a popular, there's a premium, a goodwill premium for a name that everybody loves. Tesla had that goodwill premium, but when he bought X, Twitter, he lost it. He doesn't have that goodwill. In fact, he's got negative premium going against him now. But Chipotle has good. I should have just plugged my nose and bought it. But I step back because I do have principles. I think it's one of the great stocks of all time. But that's the one I chose not to buy yesterday. Pull back a little bit, give me a pullback, and I think it's still a 20% grower. ASML gets positive catalyst watch at Citigroup. Well, it had a big day yesterday. The one I was really impressed with, though, more than anything on yesterday's move was NVIDIA, which had a big move, even after all of those threats from Intel's chips, from Google's chips and whatnot. It is pulling back today. NVIDIA is down 2.1% today. But I think the big news also that came out of yesterday was the 44% increase in PC sales month over month. And that, even though those stocks are weak today, the higher risk stocks are going to be sold on a day like today. When you're taking risk off the table, you're going to take it off the highest risk kinds of the highest PE stock. So if you're seeing your high PE stock down today, it's war premium. That's what it is. It's risk. It has nothing to do with the stock. Okay, now I was looking. Here's an offering. Should we bite on this? Transocean Offshore. I think they were the ones behind the big spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, we're being from Destin, Florida, not a huge fan of Transocean.
They're floating some notes here.
The BP oil spill. Yeah,
8.25%. Would you take that one? No.
Probably not.
No. JP Morgan comes along, beats earnings by 50 cents. Their sales beat by $240 million. And Jamie Dimon warns of inflation. And the stock is getting nailed. I'm going to say that's the biggest reason behind the drop in the Dow today. J.P. Morgan is down 5.3%. I'm not a fan of the banks. I've had some of the big bank stocks transferred into us here recently. I've held on to them because they've been performing pretty well. But over the long haul, they're not very good performers. I'm just going to look this one up on the app real quickly. J.P. Morgan would be the only one I would own, and maybe Citigroup. But banks are not all that great of a performers. Let's just take a look real quickly here at J.P. Morgan's 5-year return. What did you have that up there? J.P. Morgan, there it is. Over the last 5 years, performance versus the S&P 500, it's 12.9%. S&P is 15.8%. But it's beat Cathie Woods by, she's at zero. 0% over the last 5 years. J.P. Morgan is 13% per year, which isn't bad, but it's not best stocks now kind of numbers. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of this week's Best Stocks Now show. It's been an eventful week. You know, we had CPI, we had PPI, we've had new highs in gold, we've had the kickoff to earnings season by Fastenal yesterday, we've got the follow-on today with the several earnings that we're going to go through here real quickly here in the time we have left.
And a sizable jump in the Treasury markets, which is being dampened by the flight to safety today.
Yes, we had. I think the technicals are going to be important in this week's newsletter, especially the Dow, which is looking like it could roll over into a 10-12% correction. And of course, the earnings update. Okay, so as I look at J.P. Morgan here, I just looked that up in the app. Here's my problem. It only has 62% upside potential over the next 5 years. So that would roughly be a return of 10% per year when you compound it, right? It's delivered 14% per year in the past. I need 75% or more upside potential. J.P. Morgan is currently ranked at number 483 out of 5,366. I have it as a strong hold, but obviously it has to be reevaluated after they report their earnings, which I will do. I will update my target price in the coming days. All right, but let me see if I can find his comments here. Let's see, J.P. Morgan. Jamie Dimon, okay, I don't have them here, but I did read them earlier that he thinks there's going to be more inflation. He says the company J.P. Morgan is remaining alert to a number of significant uncertain forces, including geopolitical tensions. Okay, so there's a guy after my own heart. You got to pay attention to geopolitical events. Of course,
well,
he's
got his finger on the dollars.
I believe
dollars
he's Jewish,
right around the globe,
too,
yeah.
And has Israel connections. And, you know, don't forget, these big guys, these central bankers and the big money bankers, they're tied into intelligence, let's put it, okay? They keep their pulse on what's happened. And he also believes that inflationary pressures. He does not want the Fed to lower interest rates anytime soon. Citigroup.
Well, and remember, early in the week, he came out with that wide, ranging interest rate forecast.
Yeah,
remember,
clear
it was between
up to
like
eight.
It was 2% to 8%, right? So
he
expects
probably
volatility.
More right.
It sounds like he expects volatility. Put it that
way. Now, Citigroup was up. Now it's down. They beat. Now, remember, all of these are members of the S&P 500, so this goes into the total equation for the S&P 500, which I update every week, not only this quarter that we're reporting right now, but for the year, very important, and for next year, most important. So Citigroup beats. Okay, so now you look up Citigroup in the app. You could not sum up a stock any faster. On the valuation grade on Citigroup, I have the valuation with 60% upside potential. Not good enough. We've got a grade of B minus on it, which is a hold, okay? It's ranked out of 5,300 stocks, 1,091. So if you were picking the 25 best stocks for your All-Star team, for your Midsummer Classic, you only got 25 places on the roster. Would Citigroup be one of them? Okay, the next one would be Wells Fargo, okay? So we got the three big, these are the money center. These are called money center banks. They're tied to the Treasury, and that's why they're in on the know of a lot of the intelligence and whatnot. They have to be, because this is the artery of our financial systems here. Wells Fargo had a pretty good report, earnings beat, lower credit loss. But if you're going to sum up Wells Fargo as a holding stock from an upside potential, the problem with a lot of these companies, they don't have any growth. There's just no growth. People are leaving Wells Fargo, especially when it comes to money management, as opposed to giving Wells Fargo money to manage. They have 47% upside potential over the next 5 years. That is subpar. I want 75% or more just to meet the value criteria. Now you go to the performance criteria. It's a C, a terrible performer. Terrible performer. I think even Warren Buffett gave up. It's a C-minus performance grade over the last 5 years. They've delivered 3.5% per year, Barry, to investors. You could have got that in a treasury without any risk. They beat ARK. They beat Cathie Wood, 3.5% per year. So, but anyways, a very mediocre stock to own. If you own it, call up your broker today. Say, why do you have me in Wells Fargo? It is ranked number 2,107 out of 5,366. And let's see, the next one is one everybody loves to hate, BlackRock. BLK, he's a big player, the CEO in the World Economic Forum. It's down 1.5% today. Looks like it's ready to roll over into a number four downtrend to me. BlackRock, I don't believe, adds up at all. It hasn't been on any of my hot list recently or even in the recent past. The valuation on BlackRock is 53% upside potential over the next 5 years, very subpar. The performance of BlackRock over the last 5 years, 12% per year, a lot better than Wells Fargo, 12% per year. The S&P, however, is 16% per year. So it's an underperformer, performance grade of C, and a very poor valuation. So you get an overall ranking of 3,618. Is that Larry Fink? Is that who it is?
Yeah, I think
or
so.
Or no, yeah, Stephen, who's the CEO? It's
I
not
think it's,
Fink.
Oh, no, I know who it's. Hang on.
You look it up.
I got it.
It's ranked 3,618, so take that. Not very good performance out of the stock. And last but not
it is Larry Fink.
Okay,
yeah, Larry BlackRock,
Fink.
Yeah.
BlackRock, okay. And then State Street reported. Here's one good performer today, a good stock, Progressive. Progressive, that's flow. Auto insurance rates are blowing up, and these stocks are printing money right now. Progressive is a very good stock. All right, get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Set up an appointment with us, 855-611-VEST. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.